Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, since the 1990s, there's been a rapid rise in the number of Australians making what has been called the pilgrimage to Gallipoli for Anzac Day services. Many of them are 20-somethings who go for the full experience, retracing the steps of fallen soldiers through Shrapnel Gully, bathing in the waters off the peninsula, attending the all-night vigil that then culminates in the dawn service at Anzac Cove. Now, no doubt the trend's got something to do with a resurging interest in our national identity, but could it be a sign of something more? A number of scholars have noted the religious nature of the trend. Could these Gallipoli pilgrimages reveal maybe a deeper spiritual longing in Australians? That's the question that's been on my mind across the weekend. John Hannaford is a lecturer at the Australian College of Ministries. He did his PhD studies in this whole field, so it's fascinating to talk to him. John, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Sheridan. It's nice to be here and nice to speak to your listeners.
Let's start off with a definition of what a spiritual or religious pilgrimage is, and then we can see how the Gallipoli trend maybe fits into that or doesn't. So give us a working definition.
A working definition would be that it's a physical journey for a spiritual purpose. Now, there's a whole lot of religions that all have pilgrimages, so that if you go to a country like Turkey, they will recognise you from their Islamic background with Islamic pilgrimages, like the Hajj. They'll recognise you as a pilgrim. That's quite interesting that we're in a different culture, different country, different language, different religion, and they will see us as pilgrims.
So you said a physical journey for a spiritual purpose.
Yep.
So let's talk about the Gallipoli trend then. How might the Gallipoli journey fit in with that, with the kinds of things that people are seeking to do and experience when they head off to Gallipoli?
Yeah. Look, a lot of people go to Gallipoli with fairly unformed expectations. They just, something stirs within them. They want to do it. They're often in backpacking through Europe and they've come out of a lousy, miserable winter and they want to go somewhere warm and sunny. If they're coming from Australia, their neighbours have gathered them and given them little bits of family memorabilia and said, hey, this is Uncle Fred's letter, this is something else, this is that. So that they go there thinking they should, not really knowing exactly what to expect, but expecting that it will be moving.
So they head off on this pilgrimage for whatever reason, but it starts to take on some fairly spiritual overtones, though, in some of the things that they do, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Look, very quickly, they form a band. As soon as the pilgrimage is over and people go to sort of swim in the Mediterranean and go on holidays, the bands tend to dissolve. So that's one thing. When they get there, they usually decide that they'd better do something special, not just go to the services, but an increasing number decide to walk the battlefield or to walk up from the beach, Anzac Cove, up through Shrapnel Gully and really make a physical exertion to sort of remember what went on. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of identifying with ancestors, maybe some ancestor worship going on. There's lots of questions about, would I make this sort of sacrifice for my country?
Mm-hmm.
People talk about sacrifice. Young women talk about, would they be willing to die for their country? As well as young men, so it's kind of not gender-specific. Nearly everyone there has what's called a melting moment when they sort of burst into tears. My moment was I was watching a backpacker group on a bus and they had a Turkish guide who was playing the last post at Lone Pine, which is the big Australian cemetery, and the daytime service after the dawn service. And at Lone Pine, read some of them the ode and all these little backpackers, about 25 of them, had their hats off and were crying. And I was just trying to take a photograph because I was writing it up as a thesis. I noticed that my eyes misted over too. But I still took the photograph because I'm an academic.
You can't get too emotional about these things when you're writing it up for a PhD thesis.
but then when you talked, people always identified that they had a melting moment and they could tell you the time and the place.
And what is the melting moment specifically over, about the sheer loss of Australian life, about the connection that this was actually maybe in some way my relative, my great-grandfather or whatever?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things there, but probably the futility of it all, when you see the landscape and the fact that you had to go up these extremely steep gullies and cliffs, and you saw how small the land that they fought over was and how many people died. I think you just ask yourself, what is life all about? You know, that these people died for Australia. What were they thinking? Were they dying for their mates or for their country? Why was sacrifice so easy for them, in a sense? And so it opens up the whole questions of the meaning of life, and they like, in their quieter moments, to think about these things.
This is Open House right across the nation. We're talking about the Gallipoli pilgrimage, as it's come to be known now. So many 20-somethings heading over to Turkey for Anzac Day services. And just wondering, you know, is there something more to it than simply, I don't know, national pride, or even taking a bit of an extra stop when you're backpacking around Europe? Is there something spiritual or religious about it? 1-300-40-2020, if you've got something to throw into the conversation. John Hannaford is with us from the Australian College of Ministries. He did his PhD in this whole area. So here we've got this experience of people going over there, meeting up with other people. There's a certain sense of oneness and fellowship that happens amongst the group, as you were talking about there.
There is. You know, look, I spoke to young women that said sleeping in the open, feeling safe with thousands of people, there was just something unique and special. So they kept going for spirituality rather than religion.
Elsewhere, I've read that you've talked about the pilgrimage being a quest for a relationship with a pilgrim's most sacred ideas or ideals. And in many ways, Gallipoli could fit into that definition as well, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People saw it as a pilgrimage. They saw it as a spiritual pilgrimage. They saw it as something that you could do privately. You didn't have to be in step with the Australian army or in step with the Australian church, and indeed be a critic of all those things, but still be a more worthwhile human because you had a spiritual dimension to you.
Yeah.
And they want to find out what life's all about. They're distrustful, I think, of having it too organised. And a pilgrimage is always slightly disorganised and chaotic, and pilgrimage attracts people who are looking for something more than you get at home.
Yes, okay. So here we go. We've got this journey, we've got this pilgrimage to Gallipoli, you've got this looking for a sense of values, we've got this sense of oneness and fellowship that happens amongst the group. You're talking about a spiritual melting moment for many people.
A kind of ideal community they meet for a short time, that they belong to an ideal community.
I actually read the response from one lady who she came back, it was actually a girl, a 20-something girl, and she returned from Anzac Cove saying that she was fired up to, quote, spread the gospel of Gallipoli.
Yeah.
So how is this an example of what has been talked about in recent years as secular spirituality, which almost sounds like an oxymoron, but secular spirituality?
Well, look, I can give you a couple of examples, and then one is we have invented two major sort of festivals. One's the Carols by Candlelight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a replacement for Midnight Mass. It was actually seen by the guy who founded it as a replacement for Midnight Mass. He was walking one Christmas Eve down a main street in a main city, which is St Kilda Road in Melbourne, and he saw a woman sitting by the window in her pyjamas, holding a candle and singing along with the radio, Away in a Manger. With that picture in his mind, he decided that they would have carols in the park at midnight. Well, they then brought it forward over the years, but that was the moment.
Isn't it interesting? I knew about the story leading up to the first Carols by Candlelight, but I didn't know it was actually seen to be a replacement of a Midnight Mass.
Well, the guy spoke of it as an alternative. I think you saw the same thing in the dawn service itself, which was four or five soldiers wending their way home after Anzac Eve celebrations in the late 20s, and they stopped at the half-completed cenotaph in Sydney in Martin Place, and they saw a lady with flowers, and so they stood to attention, and they stood in silence and waited for her to finish. And then they went home and said, hey, this was so good, we're going to do it next year. And they went back to their organisation, which was Returned Soldiers and Sailors and Airmen's League. They took it back to their secular authority, who said, yes, we'll run with it, and later on the RSL, which is a slightly different organisation, took it over. But that went from five soldiers to hundreds of thousands within just a few years.
So those are two examples of secular spirituality. That's really
secular
fascinating.
Secular spirituality, yep. One of the few places you actually see people describing what their values are and what their spirituality is when they go on a travelling trip. So if they go to Uluru, or they go to the Dig Tree at Innamincka for Burke and Wills, grey nomads counterclockwise around Australia. And then you can ask them, what's it mean to be on a pilgrimage around Australia as a grey nomad? And they will say, well, it means I've finished with my obligations of bringing up the kids. I've finished with my obligations of paying the mortgage. I'm time rich, touching at the core of what it is to be human and have been born in Australia.
Yeah. So you, as being both an anthropologist, and that's where you did your PhD studies in, and looking at these kinds of ideas of pilgrimage, particularly around Australia, and then also being a committed Christian who lectures at a Christian theological college, is it too far a stretch for me to say that perhaps the Gallipoli pilgrimage every year may well be a sign that Australians are seeking for something more, maybe even seeking for God?
Yes, they're certainly looking for something more. They're looking for the meaning of life. They're willing to look into the person of Jesus. They're not that keen to darken the door of a church, but they have a Christian folk religion, and that seems to be, that pops up in all these little pilgrimages that mm-hmm. have very high standards of mateship and dying for your friends and being loyal and sticking with your values and having a sense of purpose and the value of being human. That these things are quite firmly entrenched in them. So, yeah, I think what we're seeing is that the average secular Australian, if you scratch the surface, when you get rid of church, you don't get rid of spirituality. It just forms in different ways. It's sort of the free market experience. You take away the big monopolies and a thousand little things grow. And that seems to be what's happening.
So this also raises big questions about the idea of Australia as a secular country too, or actually maybe a little bit more spiritual, but it's just a little bit more
Camouflaged, I would say. Cryptic,
yeah.
And camouflaged, so hidden and disguised. Yeah. The spirituality, you don't say, oh, I'm a deeply religious person. You say, I've got my thoughts. I try and be deep. I don't want to be too shallow. I think about spiritual things. And when you get them on those grounds, it's, I think, a great opportunity to chat with your neighbour. Yeah.
And so, John, just before we wrap up, why do you think there is this trend of the Gallipoli pilgrimage happening now? You know, since the 1990s, we've seen this massive kind of growth in numbers every year. Last year was a little bit down there, suggesting the global financial crisis was part of that. But so why now, and why so many 20-somethings?
It has to do with, largely has to do with living in Europe. There's a lot of expatriate Australians living in Europe. They're mostly younger. And when some of them said, when they went back to England to discover their roots, they kind of were put off by the class crap. They were put off by the money thing. Some of the unique things about being Australian obviously hadn't come from London. So one search finished and another search started. Well, what makes me different? And what makes me valuable and of value in a global world? The answer to what makes you valuable is a theological question and a theological answer, a spiritual question and a spiritual answer.
That's right. That's right, and that's what actually is.
I would encourage anyone that thought of going to Gallipoli to go and do it. It's actually just a wonderful experience. Secondly, I would encourage anyone that was thinking of finding out a bit more about their own spiritual self and their own spiritual journey to look at Jesus and to try and find a couple of Christian friends that they can trust and relate to and that don't put them down and will listen to them and walk them through stuff. And just chat about being a Christian.
May well find the fulfillment of their desire to go to Gallipoli. Great to talk to you, John. Thanks so much for your time.
Lovely, Sheridan.
Yeah, John Hannaford, lecturer at the Australian College of Ministries, did his PhD studies in this whole idea of Australian pilgrimages, and we've been talking about maybe the spiritual significance of this growing trend of the Gallipoli pilgrimage on Anzac Day.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.